Christ is risen. Now that was better than last week. Let's do it again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
All right, next week's going to be even better. It's great. We're in the Easter season. Easter lasts many, many weeks. Dear friends, you know what I've noticed is that pretty much everyone really focuses on balance. That's a key word these days, balance, maintaining balance. And it doesn't matter what age you are, it's a relevant word. If you think about it, maintaining balance is really important. I can speak to this because 3 weeks ago, I can speak to the fact that balance touches every age, every generation. Because 3 weeks ago in our house, we had three different generations represented under one roof. Talk about chaos. Maybe some of you can relate to this, living with different generations. And what I noticed was that every single generation was dealing with that topic of balance. Here's my observation. Miles is cycling around the house. Alyssa, you saw that? He's just all over the place. And what he's doing is he's working on his balance so that he can be stronger. And our girls, too. They dance around and they're working on their balance. Physical balance is what they're focusing on. Then there's those middle-aged people. I'm the middle-aged guy. My wife, she's very young and she hasn't taken in that description. But our focus on balance has nothing to do with physical balance. It has to do with getting priorities right and maintaining balance each week with a hectic schedule. And we talk about it each day. How are we going to be balanced each week, each day? And then my parents were there, and what I noticed was they were actually doing a lot of exercises themselves. I've never seen them do that before. And there they were, early in the morning, doing exercises. They were also working on their physical balance. Balance. It's something that no matter what age we are, we really want to maintain our balance. What is that about? What does Jesus have to do with balance? What is that about? Balance is something we're supposed to go to a health expert or a doctor or read a book at a bookstore. My friends, I'm going to present something here that I'm going to repeat month after month at Peace in the months ahead. Jesus gives proper balance. How does he do it? I'd like to unpack our gospel text from Luke 24 on the balance he gives us and how it can be played out and how we can live healthy lives. The reality of it is that in the beginning of this text, in verse 36, do you see that these 11 disciples are out of balance? Do you see the words that are used to describe them? Startled, which is a word that's kind of like being terrified at a horror movie. They're becoming fearful. They're trapped inside. They're isolating themselves. Read on. It talks about how doubts are rising up in their heart. Verse 41 mentions that they are marveling and bewildered. It's not a great joy. They're kind of just in a daze. And what we find out is that after this encounter with Jesus, the risen Lord, they have balance in life. How? How does it work? I had another slide. I don't know if we have it. Is that, we just have this one? That's all right. Just hang with me. I can talk it through, as I do with everything. My sermon title is this. Remember this, okay? Because I'm going to repeat it Bible studies and in many sermons ahead. Up, in, out. Can you remember that? Yeah? Up, in, out. This is the kind of balance Jesus gives in Luke chapter 24. Up, in, out. Up is our relationship with God. Up. Now, it's hard to believe, but see, these disciples, they actually didn't know that Jesus was God. They had been, we've heard this in our other passages that we've read since Easter, the doubts were there. They were with Jesus when he said words of authority and commanded the wind and the waves. They were there when Jesus healed a blind man. They were there when he taught with authority that no one else had done before. But here's the thing. They were still in the dark after his death and resurrection. They didn't believe that Jesus was God. So here in this text, when Jesus appears to them, they finally got it, right? No. Did you hear what was said in our text? It said this. They thought that Jesus was a spirit. They thought he was a ghost. They didn't think that he was real. They still had doubts. Now, what did Jesus do? Jesus comes to them, and I can't do advanced studies on this in a sermon, but he comes to them, and how does he identify himself? In the translation, it says, I myself, but do you know what that actually is? It's, I am myself. What a weird way to put it. In the Old Testament, when God appeared to Moses, this is how God said his name. It's the Tetragrammaton. I am who I am, Moses. Jesus calls himself the great I am. I am myself. And he stands right in their midst, the text says. Jesus visits them. They couldn't figure it out. They couldn't put it together. So to strengthen their connection with the Father, Jesus came to them and said, I am. I am myself. And that strengthened their connection with up. Now, friends, personal question. How is your up relation going in your life with God? How is that working out? Is it personal question? Are you connected? How's that working? Now, there's lots of ways to dig in and deepen that connection with God. We can open up the Bible and read every day. That's great, and that's a fantastic connection, absolutely. We can pray every day. I know that many of our members do that. That's fantastic, too. But just remember this, that if the disciples who were there with Jesus the entire time saw the miracles, saw his teachings, they couldn't logically put it together that he was God. So also, when we try harder, or we try to put logic behind it, or try to come up with some rationalization, we won't be able to figure it out either. And that's why in the Lutheran Catechism it says this, I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe what? That Jesus is my Savior. How do we strengthen our up connection? My friends, here it is. Jesus is in your midst. In our church, the highest point of this sanctuary is the altar. And he comes and he says, here is my body given for you. Here is my blood shed for you. Jesus comes to you. In our church, we don't just talk about God. He's here. We don't just say it's symbolic or there's kind of something going on up here that's kind of special. We actually believe the real presence of Jesus is here. So if you ever have doubts or concerns about your connection with God, come to the altar. Jesus meets you here. And when the disciples saw Jesus eat that broiled fish, know also when you taste his body and blood, he is with you. And you can be strengthened. God searches you out and finds you right here at the altar. That's how our connection with up works. Now let's talk about in. So up, in, out. Can you remember that? Up, in, out. In refers to our relationships with one another, fellow believers. What a connection these 11 believers had in Luke 24. Can you imagine it? These guys knew everything about each other. I don't know how that worked, but I can imagine that Peter knew what John's favorite ice cream was. No, he didn't know, but he probably knew what his favorite sandwich was. It was probably a lamb at some market, I don't know. They knew the likes and joys of each other. They also knew the things that got him to tick and the things that just got him to get angry. Like I can imagine Peter knew how to push the buttons of his brother Andrew. He knew exactly what to say in the moment that he could kind of nudge him and kind of get at him. Now, these disciples were not alone when Jesus appeared to them. They were all together. And what that tells us is they needed each other to bounce off doubts and concerns and struggles. They needed each other. The in relationship was super important for these disciples. And Jesus came and he strengthened their bond together in our text. It says that they sat down and they shared a meal together. Jesus said, "Peace be with you," Jesus said. And then an amazing thing happened. These disciples, there were probably hundreds of disciples, we think maybe, let's say 200 disciples that followed Jesus. But you see, at this moment, these disciples changed and they became apostles, the 11 apostles. They were so tight together. They were in. Their relationships were tight in. So, personal question. You don't have to answer out loud. How are your in relationships with fellow believers? Hard question. Are you not wanting to pay attention to that one? In. How are relationships with fellow Christians or Christians at another church? You know, it's going to take time to reestablish and to establish relationships just within the church over the last year. That's going to be really important. And what's awesome is if we get to the point in which we really do discover those likes and joys that we have. I know what Ruth's favorite move in Pinochle is. I know what that is. I know your sneaky ways, Ruth. And it's great when we also, it's also when we know the dislikes that one another have. We're so connected that we know what sets another person off. And what is even more important is that in the walls of this church, as we connect with one another, we can share our doubts, our concerns, our failures with one another, and not feel judgment and not feel like we'll be left out in the dark. Our bond is so tight, we are together in. Now, as I share all this, you might be thinking, boy, that's nice. I like up and I like in. That's kind of a cozy place to be in. I kind of like that. We can just stay together and just hang out with one another and enjoy life together. And the disciples must have thought that too with Jesus here in this moment. They could just stay together and Jesus could be with them and it would be great. But that's not balance. You can't just be balanced with the Father and with fellow believers. You got to have relationships with people that are out. What we learn about Jesus and these disciples is that Jesus does challenge them to be out. They learn that they are apprentices under Jesus. An apprentice is someone who has on-the-job training. An apprentice is someone who has maybe some academic training under a master. And the master's there and can kind of adapt things and kind of clean up the mistakes and figure things out and put it all together. But then with an apprentice, there comes the moment when the apprentice finally gets their license and then they can practice. That's what happens here in this text. Jesus says to them, all of this has happened, verse 47, all of this has happened so that repentance and forgiveness of sins can go out where? Did you hear it? To all nations. To all nations. These disciples would need to establish relationships with cultures, with places that they had never known before. That's what Jesus was asking them to do. No longer would it be acceptable to just be connected with the Father and then just with each other. Jesus was saying, take it out. Take it out and be connected with others and share your witnesses of what I have done. So final, that third question, how are you doing without? And I'm, by the way, I'm going to follow up with each of you with these questions. Up, out, in. Jeremy, I'm struggling with them too myself. I never ask members to chew on something that I myself don't chew on as well. But how are your relationships with people outside the walls of the church that don't have a connection, that don't know Jesus? We do a great job of reaching out in our church, actually, with the live stream that we have. It goes out to people we don't even know who they are. There are community groups that call Peace Lutheran home, actually. They call this where we are, where we reside. They like meeting here, and they call it home. And we are well established in the community. But my observation is this. Do you know the most effective way for us to reach people is when one member, that's not the pastor, when one member invites another person and says, I like my church, you will feel uplifted there. Someone right before the church service just told me, I got a friend that I've invited to come to Peace Lutheran Church, and they're coming. That's the most effective way to reach outside you, the members. And by the way, in our goals that we review every year at our church, it says every member, a goal is that every member invites one person to church each year. Goal? That's what it says. It says that. So as I leave, a challenge for you is to challenge me and challenge each other with up, in, and out. You can do that by doing this. If you can email me or call me and say, Pastor, this one category I'm doing really well in, but please share with me the one that you're struggling with, up, in, or out, and let me know. Because as my role as a pastor, I want to make sure we're all as balanced as we can be. And this is what Jesus did in Luke 24, up, in, and out. And together, we'll bring the word out to all nations, especially our community as well. Let's pray about that today. Dear Heavenly Father, what a bold thing you did when Jesus came and had this discussion with the 11 disciples, and what a change that brought upon them to be focused on up, to be focused on in, to be focused on out to all nations. Lord, give us balance at our church that we too can do that as well. We're imperfect. We try the best that we can, but we need your spirit as it was poured out on those disciples to make a difference, to care for those in and to care for those out and to be connected to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.